Good morning, everyone.
Please be seated.
I'm Ray Paquette. I am your duty elder this morning. For you who are visiting us, would you please sign our guest book in the alcove at the back and join us for fellowship after the service. Now, Ruth? Bob, sorry. They keep changing it.
We did that just to confuse Ray. I just got two brief announcements I want to make this morning, and they're both concerning the gala. So first, tickets have gone very well. We've broken the 100 mark, which is a magical number for us in terms of attending the gala. But it's 2 weeks today, and today is really should be the last day that we sell tickets. So if you have not got your tickets and would just like to have tickets for the gala, I will be downstairs after the service at fellowship time, and you can purchase some tickets for myself. And because we need to lock the numbers in with the atrium beginning of this week. So if you want a ticket and you haven't got one, do so today. And the second is, in your bulletin, and it's been in for a week or two now, is something, what are the top 10 things that you like about Burlington East? So we'd really appreciate as much input as possible on that. So if you've not taken the time yet to fill that out, please do so today or over the next week, and you can just put it on the offering plate today or next week, and we're going to consolidate that in some fashion, and we'll talk about the top 10 things at the gala evening. So with that, we'll turn it over to an unhealthy Reverend McCanch.
Yes, good morning, everyone. I will say to Bob's announcement there, I've had a few submissions from us electronically. I sent out our regular e-newsletter, and in that was a connection to submit your top 10 things you like about Burlington East, and I know a number of you have done that, so you can use that method, the paper method and or the electronic one. I'm glad to be back after a week's vacation, although I got to say it was not as fun as I would have liked. We're going to be doing communion a little different. I've picked up some kind of a flu bug that has just completely floored me for most of last week. I had an opportunity to go up just east of Halliburton on Tuesday to officiate at a longtime friend of our family's. Their daughter was getting married, and we found out, I woke up after getting back from the wedding, I was deathly, deathly ill with a flu. I thought it was food poisoning initially, and then I got a text from the mother of the bride, "How are you feeling today? Nearly half the guests at the wedding are all not doing very well." As it turns out, the flower girl and her father had been quite ill prior to arriving and didn't bother to tell anybody to stay away from her. And I was hugging, you know, like you do, and quite happy. And anyway, so I spent most of my vacation, you know, in that special room where you go for that special thing that you need to do when you have a flu. Donna's away this morning because she's now sharing that same thing along. So today's communion, I'm doing all this just to let you know that I'm going to do the communion service from the pulpit because I don't want to get in contact with anything and anybody. I'm trying not to share. As much as, you know, I like to share, I don't want to share this with you. So Bob will be my stand-in this morning over at the communion table, and I will be doing the wording and all that and the prayers from here. So I won't be at the back to shake hands this morning, nor will I be downstairs to continue sharing with you. But we do pray that God will bless you this morning in this service of communion. And this is World Communion Sunday, and pretty much all Protestant churches around the world today are making a special effort to celebrate communion today, in a sense to unite us all in that common union that is Christ. So let's take a moment now as we prepare our hearts for this worship service this morning, a very special worship service, World Communion Sunday. Would you like to light a candle this morning as a symbol of Christ's presence here with us again on this special World Communion Sunday? Ray.
The call to worship is found in your bulletin. Praise the Lord, who is our provider.
The Lord is our hope, our trust is in God.
God brought us out of bondage and has made us free.
The Lord is our hope, our trust is in God.
Marvelous are the deeds of our God, and mighty are his acts.
Come before the Lord now with our prayer of adoration and confession. The Lord's Prayer will follow later in our communion part of our service. And again, this is our opportunity to contemplate how this last time period, this last week, from Sunday to Sunday, those moments when God, we know that God is calling us to walk a very specific path in our life, but there have been times when we've stumbled, and this is our time to confess those times before God. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Christ, you call us to share in the heavenly banquet of your love with all people, especially this particular Sunday, as it is World Communion Sunday, an attempt and a successful attempt in that sense, Lord, to help and remind us that we're not just a community here within these walls, but a community of faith, a faith that you bless us with around this world. We as Christian people come before you, Lord, this day, and we thank you. We thank you for the many blessings you've given us, and we come, Lord, just to pray for forgiveness. It is right and good, Lord, always to give you thanks, because you truly are the source of light and life for us. You've made us in your image, and you've called us into a new life in Christ. In all times and places, in this day particularly, your people proclaim your glory in an unending praise. And so, Lord, we do praise you for all the faithful people around this world who have followed you, who've responded to that call within our hearts to come to Christ and to give our lives over to you, Lord. Lord, we thank you for the many blessings that you bestow upon us as your children and as a member of your family. Eternal God, you have also reminded us that you are a very forgiving and a loving God. And Lord, in that forgiveness presented through the life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, you have asked us, Lord, to walk a certain way. You have asked us to conduct our lives in a way that is different than everybody else's. You've asked us, Lord, to love others before we love ourselves, to love you first, to love others, to love ourselves. And so, Lord, we come before you this morning thinking and confessing to you this moments when we didn't do it in that order, Lord. Maybe we thought of ourselves first in a particular instance this week when we should have been thinking of someone else. Maybe we said something in anger, Lord, when anger was really not the right thing to do. Maybe we did something very small, Lord, in our mind, and when we think about it, oh, it doesn't matter. But Lord, we don't know what matters to someone else. Something we didn't do, something we did do, something we said, something we didn't say. In our mind, maybe, Lord, oh, well, that doesn't matter. It was very small. It could have caused someone to stumble. And you call us on that, Lord. We ask forgiveness, Lord, for those moments in our lives when we thought of ourselves first, then thought of others, then thought of you. Reverse order. Thank you, Lord, that through Christ, you forgive us for these things. You help us through the power of the Holy Spirit to turn our way around, to create an act of true repentance, which is that 180-degree turnabout to never do it again. Lord, we claim this in Christ's mighty, mighty name. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 2 tells us the following. You, and that means, as I said in modern parlance, you all, or y'all, because it's you plural, all of you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you all may proclaim the mighty acts of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. People of God, all of us together have received God's mercy in Christ. In Christ we are forgiven, we are redeemed, and we are made to be a community united by faith in Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen. Join together now in our children's hymn, Tell Me the Stories of Jesus, number 348. And during verse 3, we'll have the children come forward on the steps for a time together of sharing. 348. Please be seated. Yeah, I'm staying away from the kids too. Hi, boys and girls. How are you today? You're all back at school now, right? Yeah? How are you finding that? And did you meet anybody new when you went to school this year? Yeah, you met some new people? When I started school to become a minister, the first day of class, I wore a special outfit. Did you all wear special outfits when you went to school the first day, something new that you bought? And get something special to wear when you went to school? Yeah? I wore something special, too. I wore a T-shirt and jeans and my biker boots, which I'd not really worn much around here too much, I suppose. And my T-shirt had a special thing printed on the front of it. It was a giant skull. It's what I wore at that time. Just for a side note, boys and girls, adults, had been shaving my head up to that point. You didn't know me then, and I had a long goatee. So, yes, I know. My children loved me to drive them to school because all their friends would not bother them because the biker dad drove them to school. They thought it was just one. Anyway, when I spoke to one of the ladies that was at the same class as me, she said she was really afraid of me because I looked very scary because I had short hair, and this funny looking goatee thing and a skull on my t-shirt. It was a skull like this. So from the outside, I looked a bit scary maybe. But you know what? God looks not just at the outside. God looks at the inside. Look what's in there. Jelly beans. That's what's inside me. Jelly beans. I'm just a big piece of candy and I'm a big teddy bear. And when she got to know me better, she told me the story of the first day that she met me and how she was really afraid of me because I looked so scary. But once she got to know me, she realized we became very good friends. And she's now out west as a minister and we've had a lovely time together, I know, sharing back and forth. So, you know, in the Bible, we see Jesus often talking to some people called the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes. And when Jesus is talking to them, they think, you know, they're pretty good. They don't have the skull side. They've got the clear side. They think they're just what they are on the outside is what matters. Jesus says what's on the inside is what matters, and that's what God thinks about mostly. And sometimes, maybe, it's not jelly beans that are inside. Maybe it's things like salt or rocks or stuff that you wouldn't want to eat, really. Yeah, it could be sticks even, that's right. Something that's not very edible. And what does that mean? Well, that means this. Sometimes you can be smiling on the outside, but inside you can be very angry. Inside you can really not like somebody. And God's concerned about what's inside here, not just what's on out, going on out here. He said, this is important too, but we have to really consider what's going on inside our hearts. We have to remember that God looks at our hearts. So when we need to love everybody, and that comes from deep inside ourselves, not just by what we look like, but really how we're feeling inside as well. We're going to talk about that today. Okay, boys and girls, you can all stand together. I'm not going to come near you. We're going to have a little prayer because I've got a flu. Okay? You can repeat after me. Let's bow our heads. Okay? Dear Jesus, we thank you for your love and that you look inside. You consider our hearts. Help us to be more loving inside and out. We pray in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Thank you, boys and girls. You can head off to Sunday school and we'll sing the last couple of verses of our hymn, Seated. As we prepare to hear God's word this morning, let's just take a moment and come before God in prayer. Let's bow our heads. Holy Spirit, we are inviting you this morning to help us to hear your word as it's being spoken directly from Scripture. This is your voice written down in so many ways, Lord. This is one of the things that we believe, that all Scripture is inspired by you. All Scripture is sourced in you. Lord, calm our minds. Calm our hearts, and help us to hear your voice. We pray this in Christ's mighty, mighty name. Amen. Often when we hear the words at the beginning of a prayer, we might hear the words, let us open our hearts and minds, similar to what I just prayed. And it's that kind of language that we're going to be hearing in Psalm 25 this morning, talking about, it's definitely a prayer to God for God's hand to be at work in someone's life, and particularly in us as a people of God. This morning we're thinking about World Communion. This is a prayer that is asking so much of God's steadfast love that we read about often in Psalms. We'll see that phrase being used. And remember, I said a number of weeks back about that word hesed, and that's often used throughout Psalms, a steadfast love that God has for us that endures forever, that never changes, that is always constant. This prayer is a prayer that is both petition, a request, and praise, a thanks. And as we read through this, we're going to see that it's thanking God for the many things, but also asking God for continued guidance, almost like our prayer of confession. Let's read responsibly now, Psalm 25, verses 1 to 9. Ray.
To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. Do not let those who wait for you be put to shame.
Let them be ashamed who are wrongfully.
Make me to know your ways, O Lord.
Teach me your paths.
Lead me in your truth and teach me.
For you are the God of my salvation, for you I wait all day long.
Be mindful of your mercy, O Lord, and of your steadfast love, for they have been from old.
Do not remember the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to your steadfast love, remember me, for your goodness sake, O Lord.
Good and upright is the Lord.
Therefore the Lord instructs sinners in the way, leads the humble in God's way, and teaches them the way they should go.
I have to say personally, I've always loved that the phrase that do not remember the transgressions of my youth. As we age and look back, we can think of the many things that we've done when we were younger and sometimes reflect on that. And that psalm, I think, really touches that for me, I know. Our Old Testament reading this morning is taken from the book of Ezekiel. That's page 784 in the your pew Bibles, Ezekiel 18 verses 1 to 4 and then 25 to 32. And Ezekiel is a prophet that we know quite well, did many different things in his life, miracles as well as critiquing the people of Israel. Probably one of the biggest things that he was critiquing was the way of life that the people of Israel were living while they were especially in exile. They were not living the kind of life that God wanted them to live. They were living quite opposite to that. And the idea that they were complaining that to be Jewish in that sense, in that true sense of the word, as we can see in the word of Ezekiel, was unfair. These demands were unfair. We're not even in Jerusalem anymore. Why should we live like this? And as I mentioned, I think 2 weeks ago when I was here, I just did a talk recently on the history of Judaism, and it's the laws that they were following, the 631 laws that they follow, broken out from the Ten Commandments, set them apart, and they're a very hard way of life, very difficult to follow in so many ways, and when they were living apart from Jerusalem during the time of Ezekiel, this seemed like, why should we even bother anymore? Why should we even prove who we are in that sense any longer? And Ezekiel was there saying, you really need to be following God's way. Let's read Ezekiel 18, verses 1 to 4, and then 25 to 32. The word of the Lord came to me. What do you mean by repeating this proverb concerning the land of Israel? The parents have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. As I live, says the Lord God, this proverb shall no more be used by you in Israel. Know that all lives are mine. The life of the parent as well as the life of the child is mine. It is only the person who sins that shall die. Now down to 25. Yet you say, the way of the Lord is unfair. Hear now, O house of Israel, is my way unfair? Is it not your ways that are unfair? When the righteous turn away from their righteousness and commit iniquity, they shall die for it. For the iniquity that they have committed, they shall die. Again, when the wicked turn away from the wickedness they have committed and do what is lawful and right, they shall save their life. Because they considered and turned away from all the transgressions that they had committed, they shall surely live, they shall not die. Yet the house of Israel says, the way of the Lord is unfair. O house of Israel, are my ways unfair? Is it not your ways that are unfair? Therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, all of you according to your ways, says the Lord God. Repent and turn from all your transgressions, or otherwise iniquity will be your ruin. Cast away from you all the transgressions that you have committed against me, and get yourself a new heart and a new spirit. Why will you die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of anyone, says the Lord God. Turn then and live. Our New Testament reading this morning is taken from the book of Philippians, chapter 2, and that's found on page 197 in your pew Bibles. Philippians 2, verses 1 to 13. And Paul, in the first chapter of this book, is suggesting that the Philippians, this whole book is going to be kind of an affectionate letter, and it's really considered one of Paul's more encouraging and truly affectionate letters, written from his sense of friendship that he has for the people. He's reminding the Philippians of the reality that they live in as believers, and then reminding them who they are, and he implores them to say, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard your others as better than yourselves. Very basic principle, we think, in so many ways, but at the time when this was written, people were not thinking of others very often. They all wanted what was important to them. They were demanding their rights. They were beginning to sort of understand what Rome was doing in the Mediterranean basin by trying to push down people's individualities and whatnot, make them Roman or not Roman, as the case may be. So people became very selfish in wanting their equal rights, and their very much like today, and I'm going to talk about that. Paul is saying, as Christians, stop thinking in that way. Think of others. Unite yourselves, and you'll see that in these words. Philippians 2, verses 1 to 13. If then there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus every knee should bend, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my beloved, just as you've always obeyed me, not only in my presence, but much more now in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, enabling you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. And our gospel reading today is taken from the Gospel of Matthew 21, found on page 23 in your pew Bibles. Matthew 21, verses 23 to 32. And this passage is part of a growing and almost violent controversy between Jesus and the temple leadership, similar to what I sort of alluded to with the children's story this morning, where he's just previous to this story, he's driven the sellers out of the temple and called them a den of robbers. He's now in the temple the next morning, and he's being confronted by the chief priests and the elders of the people who want to know, why are you doing these things? Whose authority are you acting on? And Jesus directly addresses this and at the same time critiques them. Matthew 21, beginning at verse 23. When he entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him as he was teaching and said, By what authority are you doing these things? Who gave you this authority? And Jesus said to them, I will also ask you one question. If you tell me the answer, then I will tell you by what authority I do these things. Did the baptism of John come from heaven, or was it of human origin? And they argued with one another. If we say from heaven, he will say to us, why then did you not believe him? But if we say of human origin, we are afraid of the crowd, for all regard John as a prophet. So they answered Jesus, we do not know. And he said to them, neither will I tell you by what authority I am doing these things. What do you think? A man had two sons. And he went to the first one and said, son, go and work in the vineyard today. He answered, I will not. But later changed his mind and went. The father went to the second and said the same. And he answered, I go, sir. But he did not go. Which of these two did the will of his father? And they said, the first. Jesus said to them, truly I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are going into the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But all the tax collectors and prostitutes believed him. And even after you saw it, you did not change your minds and believe him. This is the word of God. Join together now in our next hymn, Father, We Love You, number 300. Bow our heads for a moment in prayer. Lord, as we think about the scriptures we've just read, Lord, we think about just being World Communion Sunday. We pray, Lord, that your Spirit will move amongst us. Open our minds and our hearts, Lord, and truly may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my mind be acceptable before you and your people. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. You ever seen something that shocked you? Something kind of out of the ordinary? Something like that? I had a minister kind of come into the pulpit, and I've used this once before, I know, when I was up in Barrie as a student, and Rick Horst, who was the moderator of the General Assembly, also wore one of these. And we greeted everybody at the back door after the service. And greeted everybody at the back door of the service and shook hands. And had, after a while, you stopped noticing, at least from this side anyway. And these things seem out of the ordinary. something really, when you look at something like this, it just doesn't seem right. And it causes you to kind of stop for a moment, especially when you see, you know, the collar and all that sort of stuff going on, and there's a clown nose. I do have a clown wig, but I didn't go that far this morning. I've actually worn clown shoes here during a service. I think early on when I was here, I had the clown shoes on and had the kids try to notice something different. You may have laughed if you've seen something that was out of the ordinary and out of place. You may have wondered. You may have been happy. You might have even been slightly angry, wondering what was going on. Whatever you felt at that moment when you saw it, you thought and you definitely felt something. But most of all, really what it does is it causes you to stop for a moment. It's that feeling and sense of surprise I want you to be thinking about when we hear that scripture from Philippians this morning. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. At the name. At the name of Jesus. So that name alone, as that scripture is telling us, at the name of Jesus being said, it's the same effect, so in a sense. It causes everybody to, what? It's something that stops the world for a moment. It's not a profession, a prophecy of what's going to happen. It's a promise. At, not in, but at the name of Jesus, everything and all of creation will stop for a moment, will stop breathing, will stop moving, will stop talking, will stop everything and bow down. It's a very powerful picture when you think about that for a moment. It's something that has lost its meaning. It's something that has lost its meaning, as we even read in the scriptures today in this message from Paul in Philippians, when he says that Jesus followed God, basically, in God's plan to death, even a death on the cross. Now, those are powerful words in the context of the Philippian church. Those are powerful words in the context of that time period, because dying on the cross was only for the lowest of low criminals. And it's changed over time. It's become a symbol of our church. It's become a symbol of what we believed, and rightfully so. But in the context of their time, for them to say, Jesus didn't just die. He died on a cross. That stopped everybody's conversation. The guy you're following, the guy you're claiming was God, the guy you're claiming was in charge, died on a cross? That can't be. Because that death is only for, really, scum. Put a phrase on it. The lowest, I mean, just regular criminals, they might get executed. They might get put to the sword. They might even get hung. But a cross, it must have been something heinous and terrible and disgusting. And you're saying he's Lord? You're saying he's somebody we should bow down to? Over time, we've lost the context in that sense. And over time, we've lost that sense of, at the name of Jesus, we've lost something. You know, we have a lot of things that maybe can help us connect to this again about the power of someone's name. Maybe, in a close parallel, it's not the same thing, it's a parallel, when you see an ad that says, tell them Bob sent you and you'll get 10% off your purchase. In Bob's name, you get a lower price. At the name of Bob, your bill is slightly reduced. It's the same idea when you go in that store and say, Bob, oh, you're the one that gets the 10% discount. Bob's name means something here. Bob's name is important here. It's not just an advertising gimmick, and we know that it is, but it means something's going to happen. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. The guy that died on a cross, died on a cross. Every knee shall bow. Other ways that we can draw a parallel. If you say certain names today, there's a certain feeling, an emotion comes about it. I could say Donald Trump. Jack's shaking his head. I could say Trudeau. You can pick which version you want of that. It can bring up other emotions. I could say Carla Homolka. It brings up other emotions instantly. These are names. For those of us in this room that are old enough to remember and have encountered, and I'm not one of them, but the name of Hitler at one time meant something horrible. I was talking to my daughter, my youngest daughter, just the other day, and she has a friend of hers who's about 10 years younger than she is right now, so she's in her, would be in her 20s, early 20s, this young girl. No idea who Hitler was. She's Jewish, by the way. Never heard of him. And she wasn't kidding. Not talked about at school. You can't say that name, so they don't study that. I know, some schools. I was shocked when I heard that. I didn't believe her. I thought she was pulling my leg. And I spoke to this young girl. I think he had something to do with a war. It was the best she could come up with. In that sense, lost its meaning, like Jesus kind of has in that same striking sense of dying on the cross. Now, please, I'm not drawing a parallel between those two people. I'm just saying that the impact of the name is missing. Terror was struck. You can go back further in time. And there's all kinds of names that can come up. Attila the Hun. You know, Brian, you and I love history. And the city of Venice, city that's got the canals, got started because they were so afraid of that man's name. They went off into the swamps so he wouldn't chase them and destroy them. He abandoned the city they were living in and disappeared because of his name. They knew he was coming. Attila the Hun is just some guy now in history books. Lost its meaning. The parable that Jesus tells in Matthew in our reading today about the authority and power of a name. Who listens to a father's command in public? In this parable. It's more than just listening. It's about honoring the name, respecting the name of their father, and doing something about it at the same time. The father asks his two sons to do something and only one of them acts accordingly. It's one thing to say you understand the power of the Father's name, but it's another to act at the power of this Father's name. And that's the point of Jesus' story to these, the leaders at the time. Jesus is putting it directly to the leaders of his day, just in those terms. It's a question of power, honor, respect, and mostly action. And that puts more to what Paul says when he this promise that's in verse 10 in Philippians. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is at work in you, enabling you to both work, will and to work for his good pleasure. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Fear and trembling. These are two things that we want to think about in this context for a minute. At the name of Jesus, stop. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Stop again. They connect to each other. They connect because fear and trembling are poor translations in English for us. It's an outward sign of awe is what's trying to be emphasized here. Out of respect. It's not being afraid and shaking as a result. What's being emphasized here is that there's a respect for the Father. There's a respect for the name of Jesus. There's an understanding and a respect of what Jesus did to die on the cross. Jesus didn't just die. He died on the cross.
He took the lowest path to work out God's plan. There's an old song, and I want to close with the lyrics of this, that I love. Not that old, I suppose, but it's an old gospel tune. And I'm not going to sing it this morning. I don't have the voice. It goes, the words are this: Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus. Like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms shall all pass away. But there's something about that name. There's something about that name. Jesus is calling us to reflect on that this day of World Communion. Let the awe and the respect and the power of that name, the name that died on that cross, fill us and renew us. Amen. The works of the Lord are truly wondrous indeed. Let us now offer back to God a portion of what God has given us for the glory of God's name. Let us present our offering and our tithes. Lord of life, you promise abundant life to all who live together in Christ. And so, Lord, we offer these gifts as a sign of our desire to share our resources for the common good and building of your kingdom. And Lord, we humbly ask that you will use them to strengthen our unity and deepen our witness and healing presence in this very needy world. We pray this in Christ's mighty name. Amen. As I mentioned earlier, Bob is acting as my hands and feet, so Bob will be receiving the elements this morning and placing them on the table. Please go ahead. Thank you, Bob. Everyone, please be seated. We are encouraged in Scripture, in particular in Ephesians 6, it says, "Pray in the Spirit at all times, in every prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert and always persevere in supplication for all the saints." This is why we, one of the reasons why we come like this morning with our prayers of the people. And this morning I'm going to just offer an opening prayer, a little brief one, and then I'm going to open it up for you to say a name out loud and just to say that first name of someone in your life that's in need, that we can all focus our thoughts and prayers around them, and then I will offer a closing word. Let's bow our heads. Lord, we thank you for an opportunity every Sunday to come before you and pray for people in need. And Lord, I offer the name of Nancy to you, Lord, and pray that you'll be with her. Lord, I also offer, not even knowing the names, but the police officer and the four individuals out Western Canada that were injured today and in an attack that took place. I pray that you will be with them. Lord, we offer now the names of people that we know in our lives that are in need. Gracious and loving God, we thank you that you honor this act of prayer that we have been participating in the last while. Every name that's mentioned here out loud represents a very special need, whether it be a physical need, a spiritual need, a mental issue that's going on. We know, Lord, that you know what's going on in their lives. And Lord, we also thank you for the names that were said in silence this morning. It takes a lot of courage to say something out loud, but it also takes a lot of courage maybe to hold a name inside and just offer it silently to you, Lord, for all kinds of reasons. Honor these prayers, Lord. Honor these names. Honor these situations. We trust you, Lord, with confidence because of the name of Jesus. At the name of Jesus, things happen. Lives are changed. Worlds are changed. We pray this now in his name. Amen. Hear the words of the institution of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ. Keep in mind, probably right about now, around the world, it's either happened, it's happening, or it's about to happen. Churches and congregations globally are doing exactly what we're doing right this very moment. The wording might change, the order might change a little bit, but the institution is taking place of communion. We are united globally in Christ. Lord Jesus, on the night of his arrest, he took bread, and after giving thanks to God, he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And then in the same way, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant sealed in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this in remembrance of me." Every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the saving death of the risen Lord until he comes. With thanksgiving, let us offer God our grateful praise. Let us stand together now and say in unison the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. Please turn to 564 in your hymnals for the next portion of their service here. We will not be saying the Lord's Prayer as printed. We'll be saying the Lord's Prayer as we do every Sunday from here, and using debts and debtors. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. With joy we praise you, gracious God, for you've created heaven and earth and made us in your image. You've kept covenant with us even when we fell into sin. We give you thanks for Jesus Christ, our Lord, who by his life, his death on that cross, and resurrection opened to us a way of everlasting life. Therefore, we join our voices with the whole creation to lift our hearts in joyful praise. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. We give thanks to God the Father that our Savior, Jesus Christ, before he suffered, gave us this memorial of his sacrifice until he comes again. At his Last Supper, the Lord took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, he took the cup after the supper and said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this also in remembrance of me. For whenever we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, we proclaim our faith as signed and sealed in this sacrament. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Lord our God, send your Holy Spirit so that this bread and this cup may be for us a symbol of the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. May we and all your saints be united with Christ and remain faithful in hope and in love. Gather your whole church, O Lord, into the glory of your kingdom. And Lord, we come before you now and we say the prayer that Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The bread that we break is a sharing in the body of Christ. We who are many are one body, for we share the same loaf. The cup for which we give thanks is a sharing of the blood of Christ. The cup we drink is our participation in the blood of Christ. Congregation of Jesus Christ, we're a part of many other congregations in Jesus Christ around the world this very morning. The Lord has prepared a table for all who love him, all who trust him alone for their salvation, all who are truly sorry for their sins and who sincerely believe in the Lord Jesus as their Savior and who desire to live in obedience to him as Lord. All are now invited to come with gladness to the table of the Lord. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Amen. This is the body of Christ, broken for you. And as we participate in this morning, let us remember the millions of people that are doing this in unity with us today. The body of Christ. This is the blood of Christ, shed for you. Thanks be to God. Loving God, we thank you that you have fed us in this sacrament, that you have united us here in this congregation and truly united us with all Christians around the world this day. You've given us a foretaste of the heavenly banquet in your eternal kingdom. Lord, keep us in the power of your Spirit to live and to work to your praise and your glory for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Join together now in our closing hymn, number 669, All the Way My Savior Leads Me, and we'll be singing just the first two verses of this closing. Pardon me. 699, pardon me. The first two verses of this hymn as well. All the Way My Savior Leads Me, 699. Verses 1 and 2. Turn to your bulletins. We'll sing together now the choral for the end of our communion service. Go now in peace. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God, of His Son, Jesus Christ, and the blessing of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you now and always. Amen. God bless. Please be seated.